Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Aaron Rodgers now confirming to reporters that, yes, he has a broken thumb on his throwing hand. Rodgers claims the thumb doesn't make a difference when he plays. The Packers QB averaging a career low in yards. Green Bay, of course, third in the NFC North with a 4-7 record. Shannon, is the thumb a legitimate excuse for Rodgers' poor performance so far this season?
Yeah, but he's trying to minimize it, saying it doesn't make a difference. Try throwing a football without a thumb. You think that's possible, Skip Bayless? There's a reason why Dak Prescott missed, what, 5-6 weeks of the season. Now, he had a broken thumb and didn't play. Aaron Rodgers is out there trying to throw a football with a broken thumb.
Although he said mine couldn't have been as bad as Dak's was.
How do you know?
Well,
you ain't no
doctor. He doesn't know.
Exactly.
Said, I don't know, but I can't see how it was that bad. He said he's had broken fingers before that made it harder to throw. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with you.
Anything that affects your grip.
Yep.
Because grip is being able to throw the football. And if anything that affects that, of course.
Well, what did we say about Dak when he came back? Well, will he really be able to grip it and rip it?
Exactly. And if you look at it, Skip, he says he did it in week 5. If you look at the numbers, although they were still not quite Aaron Rodgers, he had a 3-1 record. He had 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's completing about 70% of his passes, 7.2 yards attempt. And then you look at since the broken thumb, he's completing 62% of his passes, 6.5 yards attempt. He was 3-1, the record. Now he's 1-6. So it's definitely had an impact on the game. And I understand that, you know, he doesn't want to use that as an excuse. But it's hard for me anytime a quarterback has anything going on with his upper body. Skip, that's how he throws the ball. So if your finger, your thumb, your elbow, your shoulder, that's going to impact the accuracy. Without accuracy, I don't care how talented a quarterback is, how fast he can run, or how far he can throw the football. What good is you can throw the ball 100 yards if you can't hit the target? Because I guarantee you, ain't no receiver going to be 100 yards down the field when you throw it to him. So, and we see him, Skip, and we talked to him the other night. I said, Skip, when you ever seen Aaron Rodgers miss throws like Sammy Watkins? He make that throw in his sleep. The one he had to Lazard coming across on the shallow. He makes that throw. Aaron Rodgers can backpedal and throw and hit that throw.
Okay.
So it told me something was going on. And I didn't think it was just mental. But he had tape on his hand, kind of like Brady had when he had the open cut in his palm, Skip. He had like a glove or something, like he had it taped very heavily. It's impacting his play. I'm not saying, Skip, this is impacting their play. That's gonna all of a sudden they were gonna be, their record's gonna be better than 500. I'm not gonna say that, but it's hard for me to say that it's not, considering that what I've seen Aaron Rodgers, Skip. That man has 7 interceptions. When was the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers have 7 interceptions in a season?
Well, 3 at Detroit the week before Dallas, and they fell to 3-6.
Skip, that man goes seasons and throw 4 interceptions. He throws 3 in a game. He's got 7 with 6. He got 7 interceptions with, what is it, 6-10? So 4-10. Excuse, 4-7 with 6 games to go. That's not Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, this thumb is impacting his ability to throw the football accurately.
Okay, I'm going to give you some of the above. But I'm going to remind you, Aaron Rodgers to me is the all-time master media manipulator. He knows exactly what of he speaks when it comes to speaking to the media.
You don't believe his thumb is broken?
I believe he made a non-excuse excuse because he made it clear it is not hampering me, but it's busted. It's broken, right? And it started on the McAfee show, and he's obviously a paid contributor to the show. And it sounded like that Pat McAfee sort of set him up by asking him, is the thumb broken? I don't know exactly how you asked it, but it gave Aaron the entree to say, well,
if it's not affecting, you shouldn't have said anything about it.
Yeah.
Skip, I can't say, well, I'm late for work. Well, what happened with your car? Your car broke down? No, my car is fine. Well, then why the hell were you late for work? Or why did you not show up for work on time?
So once the subject got broached on the McAfee show, then the media in the open media session at his locker dived in, and he obviously acknowledged and ran with it to some degree, but he didn't use it as the all-out excuse that he could have, where he could have just said, I just can't throw the football the way I used to throw it.
Right.
The problem with his argument is, as bad as he was at Detroit, and certainly as bad as he was on Thursday night against Tennessee, There was an aberration game. I guess he made miracles, but I first guessed it, and I told you he was born to beat the Dallas Cowboys. You scoffed at my theory, but it's almost like we look back at that draft, and Dallas passed him twice at 11 and 20 as he fell down to, what was it, 24th that he went to Green Bay, and he had to sit in that green room, and Dallas passed him twice for defensive linemen. Fine. DeMarcus Ware is a great player.
He's on the ballot to go to the Hall of Fame.
Marcus Spears was a decent player, but obviously he wasn't a quarterback, and he wasn't Aaron Rodgers, and you know the rest of the story. The point is that here's what I'm going to take to my bank. Our man Lil Wayne is the ultimate Packer fan to me.
Right.
And he knows what of he speaks. He is a student of your game. He is a student of the Packers. He knows a lot of people inside the organization and in the locker room. And so when Wayne speaks publicly about the Packers, I am all ears or all eyes in the case of Twitter, because you remember what he tweeted after the Detroit debacle. He said, RIP to the season. We should have gotten rid of 12 before the season. That's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm taking that to my bank, because I think that whole organization is seeing decline in Aaron Rodgers to the point that it's getting into the scary zone, and that Dallas was more of the miraculous aberration against the team that he lives to beat, because you know his track record against Dallas. It's just been phenomenal, and for me, phenomenally sickening. But let's just quickly show what happened against the Dallas Cowboys. This was the bounce-back game, and it made Wayne happy for a minute, but only for a minute, because he knew what was coming after that. But if we could see what happened, somebody named Christian Watson, who'd done nothing but drop balls, and he dropped two early in this game, he caught that one for a 58-yard touchdown, and that started it. And then he goes back to Christian Watson again. Again, their first-round pick, who'd been a bust so far, and there's another big touchdown. And then he went back to him one more time. And this was the rub-it-in touchdown for me, back to Christian Watson again. And Christian Watson looked like an emerging superstar, right? And he is 6 feet, 4 inches tall, and he did run 4.3 at the combine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think Wayne sat back and said, fine, but I know what's coming, because you just pointed out what came after that on four nights later on a Thursday night at home against Tennessee, who's very good on defense. Mm-hmm. But these are throws Aaron Rodgers used to make in his sleep. Yeah. If we could see the misfires, the first one was to Sammy Watkins on a third and 12. And this is the first one you mentioned. And it just looked like he just had him. I don't know where the ball was going. He just lost it. And then we got the two to Lazard. We got back-to-back Lazards, and he just overthrew him on the first one, and then he just flat-out missed him on the second one in ways Aaron – oh, that was the one he just flung it.
Right.
Okay. So you sit back and you say, who's the real Aaron Rodgers? I think it's more that guy against Tennessee. I think it's more the guy we've seen most of the year. You can certainly – go to that jumping off point of the last fling against the Giants.
Right.
And he did, he got his hand hit. I don't know, is it a hairline fracture? I don't know what the medical exactly is on the thumb.
So you believe if Aaron Rodgers did not have this injury, he would still look this bad?
Yep, I do.
I don't.
And the other thing that is troubling, and I think it's troubling to people in the organization, Aaron Rodgers used to be able to use his legs like crazy.
Yeah.
He bedeviled the Dallas Cowboys as much with his legs as his arm, because he was athletic. He could take off and sting you when you least expected it. And he had years, I look back, in 2016 he ran for 369 yards. For Aaron Rodgers, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So far this year, he's run 16 times for a grand total of 64 yards. He just doesn't run much anymore, because I think he doesn't want to run much anymore. And it takes some of his aura away on the field. He's not as big a threat, because he does not take off and run for first downs the way he used to.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, Skip, he's looking to throw the ball. So anytime he escapes the pocket, he's looking to throw the football. Even Mahomes is looking to throw it, but he won't hesitate. Oh, he sees a crease, you playing cover two, and guys got their back to him, he's out the gate.
Yep.
And he's not Lamar Jackson, but those 10 yards and those chain movers, they hurt just the same.
Yeah.
I don't believe that if there was nothing wrong with Aaron Rodgers, he would look this bad. I'm not saying he's going to look, he would be looking like the two-time back-to-back MVP, of the last 2 years, I'm not saying he's going to have that type of season.
Yeah.
But it's just hard for me to believe that the throws that he's missing, that we've seen him routinely make throughout his career, all of a sudden seems to be a problem. There has to be more going on. And I understand he brought it up, so he allowed us to open the door.
Yep.
But it's just hard for me to believe that that thumb is not having some impact. And he can say, well, it's not as bad as Dak. Well, you don't know. You didn't see Dak's x-rays. Dak, your doctors don't know what went on with Dak. Dak's doctors don't know what went on with you. So it's easy for you to say, well, it couldn't have been that bad because you're still playing. But no. Nah,
okay. And then the final point is, when Aaron doesn't play up to MVP standards, at least in the regular season, because he's been a disaster in the postseason. Obviously, back-to-back years, they had the number one seed and lost home games, and he stunk in both those games.
Yes.
Especially against Brady in the first game in the NFC Championship game. But on top of that, when you've got the vaccination controversy and then you got the ayahuasca controversy, his act is a tough one to swallow for the organization because it's diminishing returns. What have you done for me lately? It's tolerance versus performance. And after a while, he is wearing out his welcome in Green Bay.
Skip, day to day wouldn't have cared if he drunk a fifth of scotch. If he's going to go out there and play at an MVP level, they'll have some in the locker room for him at halftime if that's what's going to get him going.
I'll buy that.
But
they would have ayahuasca at halftime.
They absolutely would. But, Skip, it's just hard for me to believe because I've seen the guy over his career. Skip, I can't remember the last time Aaron Rodgers had this many interceptions in a season, let alone with 6-7 games to go in a season.
Yeah.
And look, they're on the road against the Eagles and the Bears, and then they get a bye week. I mean, he probably could have used a bye week a little earlier. I mean, I don't remember a team having a bye week this late in the season, Skip.
Yeah, I got it. But when I watch him talk, he just looks weather-beaten to me.
Yeah.
He looks like he's a little worn out. Like, LeBron now doesn't look – he looks fresh to me, and he's older than Aaron is.
Yeah. Right? Well, he's not older.
Well, in
NBA, right.
Yes.
But, Skip, it's just – at some point in time, you just can manifest stuff. You keep talking about you're tired and doing other things, and before you know it, your body's like, well, what are we doing out here then?
Yeah.
Why you keep putting me through this? If you're talking about retiring and going and sitting on a beach or drinking a bottle of scotch, two fingers of tequila, whatever you want to drink.
I agree.
Why you keep saying that and you still out here?
And the other thing is, and I'm not going to make too much of this, but I think it's a factor. He's gone through two high-profile breakups off the field. Big high-profile star breakups.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So not easy.
But he won MVPs. Let's give him breaking up with people that win an MVP. He might need to go get somebody else and bring up with him and get another.
Maybe.
Hey, anybody out there?
Any
single
idea.
Females out there in Wisconsin? he wants superstars. He wants a layup.
He wants to go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's a long line, Shannon. I don't think he needs you to play
matchmaker.
Next challenge for Aaron Rodgers, guys. It's the Eagles this Sunday night. Fox Bet has that line at 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
All right, still to come here on Undisputed this morning. Will even signing OBJ do nothing to help Skip's Cowboys get to
That's
the Super Bowl?
Question.
We'll unpack that and all of the many layers on the other side of this break. Christian Pulisic and Team USA coming off their 1-1 tie against Wales earlier this week. Now they're looking ahead to the group favorite, England. Be sure to catch all the action with our coverage starting tomorrow on Fox at 1 p.m. Eastern. So the Cowboys have been making an obvious public push to sign Odell Beckham Jr. However, according to USA Today, quote, even if the Cowboys land OBJ, it's hard to believe they'll make a deep run. Ooh, shots fired. Shannon, do you agree with USA Today?
No, because I think this team is equipped. If they do it the right way, they can be consistent.
Sorry. It's
all right. Dave LaChapelle.
Okay.
Skip, I believe because they have a team that's in place. Their defense.
I'm so glad it was him and not me.
Defensively, Skip, their team is good enough. That is a Super Bowl defense that they've assembled. Offensively, if you do it the right way, you're going to run the offense through your running game. Tony Pollard, Zeke, Tony Pollard, whoever start, they're going to end up with the same amount of touches, but we know that Tony Pollard's touches are going to be more explosive than Zeke because he's a more explosive at this juncture of his career than Zeke is. Offensive line, they're solid. The left tackle, Tyler Smith, has gotten better and better and better. He's beating people up at the line of scrimmage. Now, we always knew he was a maul at the run blocking game.
We did.
But he's gotten better. I think having Tyron Smith, having Peters there to be in his ear and says, studying film and says, okay, look at this. This is his move right here. This is the way you need to play this. And he's gotten, there's something to say about veteran players in a locker room helping a young player along, Skip. But if you look
and
at
by the way, he's about to move to left guard right?
Which is probably his more natural position.
Agree.
But when Tyron Smith decides to say, you know what, I'm done with this, a natural progression is to bump him back out because he's played it. I think he likes it out there. And plus, he'll make a lot more money at left tackle than left guard. But, Skip, when you look at these numbers, what Dak has been able to do since he's been back in there versus what you said about Cooper Rush. Mm-hmm. When Cooper Rush, offensive points, they were 23rd.
Yep.
Since Dak has been back, they're number one. In total yards, they were 27th with Cooper Rush. They're number three with Dak. Rushing yards, they were 16th with Cooper Rush. Number three with Dak. Passing yards, 27th with Cooper Rush. Six with Dak. Points per driving, that's where you win. They were 25th with Cooper Rush. They're number one with Dak.
Mm.
So Dak is what gives them hope, what gives them life that says, you know what? Although, Skip, I don't think he's Mahomes. I don't think he's one of these top five, top 10 quarterbacks. But with this offense and with this defense, he doesn't need to be. Those other guys, they need to be that. Patrick Mahomes need to score 30 because his defense is a little suspect. Their other guy, Tua, he needs to put those points on the board because his defense is a little suspect. Now, they've gotten better since they've gotten Chubb. But, Skip, I believe even if they don't get Odell, I believe this team is equipped to make a deep run. Dalton Schultz is getting healthier. Michael Gallup's going to get healthier.
Yes.
You mentioned Tyron Smith is going to come back.
I think James Washington might contribute a little bit if Odell is not signed, but go ahead.
But everything is going to be predicated now, Skip. Don't fall. I understand that. Oh, man, Dak looks so good. Man, Dak only threw 25 passes. Just imagine he had 276 yards, three touchdowns with 25 mm-hmm. passes. Imagine if we let him throw the ball 25, 30 times. That's how your logic works. Because somebody get 100 yards in a quarter. Man, if you gave it to him enough, that'd be 400 yards. It doesn't work like that. So I don't believe, Skip. I do believe they're poised. Now, whether or not they fulfill what I think they can be, it remains to be seen. It's all about matchups, when you get and how you get them.
I hear you, but you have said repeatedly, you just think at some point, some critical point, they'll fall, that they'll self-destruct or something will go wrong because, as you always say, they do cowboy things.
But I don't believe it's because they get Odell, they're going to fall. I don't believe if they don't get Odell, they're going to fall, Skip. I think in their mind, because they've, like, all the players have been – Dak has reached out personally, and we heard Zeke, and we've heard CD, and we've heard D-Law, and even Micah has joined the party, the recruitment party of Odell. Skip, if they don't falter, it's not going to be because they got Odell. It's going to be because they got away from what's good for them, which is running the football first.
All right. I'm on record. I need Jerry to go get Odell, but first of all, I need my team to win tonight because I believe this is the Beckham Bowl. I believe Odell is sitting on the edge of his seat watching this game thinking, well,
Odell might be in the stadium.
Let's see. He might be there. He might be. Maddie, I don't know.
And you go, hey, whoever wins this game, that's where I'm going.
He might be having Thanksgiving at Jerry's this game.
He might.
He just might. That wouldn't surprise me a bit. But the point is, let's just say the Giants pull off some big upset and they win by a couple of touchdowns. Would it influence him to say, man, I need to go home again. I need to go back.
Will you come in tomorrow if they pull up to upset?
Yep, I'll be right here.
You sure?
I'm always here because I've been through this too many times.
I would drive by just in case.
All right, that's fine. I will be here front and center, and I will explain why it went wrong. But the point is, I don't believe it is going to go wrong. In fact, I'll guarantee it will not go wrong today.
Today, okay. You guarantee it?
Yes, I'm going to guarantee it because we're just better than they are. Our quarterback is better than their quarterback. Our quarterback is coming off his greatest game as a Dallas Cowboy, and we are coming off our greatest road victory in the history of our franchise. But now back to the question. I believe the world, much of the NFL world, is waiting for us to fall on our face mask because they always do. Why, Mr. Sharp, will today be the most watched regular season game of the year? Well, it's in a primetime slot right here on Fox.
That's a Thanksgiving tradition.
You watch the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And they are the greatest show on earth on and off the field, in large part because of their owner, front and center, Jerry Jones, the most famous or infamous owner in the history of sports, right?
Yeah.
I think he's qualified. I think he's beyond George Steinbrenner.
You don't surprise George?
I believe he has because it's become an international.
And because of social media now, you're absolutely right, Skip.
All right. It's the most valuable team in the world, including all these World Cup players who play for all the European franchises,
team,
you know, where you'd say, well, that one or that one or that one. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
And it's not close.
And yet, part and parcel of their magnetism is that the greatest show on earth is often not the greatest show on earth because, to your point, repeatedly, you beat me over the head with it. It's been 27 years since they even made it to an NFC championship game. I was there back at the end of 95 season when they went to a championship game, and then they went and won their last Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
It's a long time, and we got nothing to show for it. And by the way, my quarterback has very little to show for his career because he's won one playoff game so far back at the end of the 2018 season.
So let's just say, for the sake of argument, they get to the championship game and they lose. Would you consider this a successful season?
Yes, well, I predicted they would get to the championship game. Again, you talk
about
matchups.
But you're so close.
Okay, but if it's Brady and the Bucs and they've just caught fire.
No, but they got Micah.
That's no shame.
No.
Against the GOAT?
Whoa. Time out. You told me that if Aaron Donald was that, he should have stopped Micah on that drive. He should have stopped Brady on that drive. You told me that right now Micah has surpassed Aaron Donald.
Okay.
So if he gets.
Do you remember what Micah did to Brady on opening Sunday night at Jerry World? He got him twice.
And he still got
beat. Nobody gets Tom Brady, and they got him twice. And they lost 19-3 because my quarterback ghosted me. He no-showed. My quarterback was awful in that game. And by the way, Mr. Sharp, my quarterback was awful against the 49ers in that playoff game at home last year.
It wasn't like your defense did great things either now. Remember how they ran the ball? Debo took a handoff and went down the field on y'all.
Yeah, but the offense didn't show up. Okay, my team didn't show up.
Thank you.
And it's please drop the Mike McCarthy, the simply the worst motivational speaker I've ever heard in any locker room and at any podium in all my years of covering this game. But so far, we have managed to navigate around Mike McCarthy. We are winning in spite of both Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones.
Mike McCarthy doing some good things. Give him a little credit.
You're going to give him credit?
A little credit.
You've been even harder on him than I have.
I have. A little credit. Not much.
For what? What has he done?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Shows up on time. I'll give him that.
Let me tell you what I'm not going to do. Yep. I'm not going to give Cooper Rush any credit. Because Cooper Rush, in explosive plays, they were 26. With Dak, they're sixth. And points. Skip, how are you in red zone touchdowns? You were 20th with Cooper Rush.
All right.
You number three with Dak.
Okay. Here's what Cooper Rush did. In his first NFL start, he saved the season a year ago because he kept us right on track. He goes to Minnesota on a Sunday night and throws the game-winning touchdown pass with 51 seconds left. When everybody wrote us off after game number one, we lost to the GOAT. Cincinnati, the defending AFC champ, comes to Dallas. And what does Cooper Rush do? In the last minute of the game, he completes three straight passes to set up a walk-off field goal. That's sensational. He goes to the Giants when they're 2-0. And I just showed you, to start this show off, two game-winning, game-controlling drives when he sees back control from the Giants by completing 12 of 13 passes, including a make-or-break, live-or-die, 4th-and-4 play when he threw it to CD in ways Dak didn't at Green Bay, right?
I just want to know one thing. Who do you think can take you further, Dak Prescott or Cooper Rush?
Okay, I'll give you Dak Prescott, but Cooper Rush is being so underestimated, and so is Tony Pollard. The world is sleeping on Cooper Rush and Tony Pollard, and it's why Tony Romo said at the end of the game the other day at Minnesota, live on CBS, he said Cooper Rush is going to get a big contract to go save somebody else.
He's still upset about Dak got that job. Dak forced him. He shouldn't be mad at me. He got $200 million, so he should be thanking Dak.
Okay, I got it. But again, Dak has let me down too many times. I think because I got two new driving forces on this team. I got Micah and I got Tony Pollard. Completely underwritten. He's been written off, underestimated. Nobody knows who he is. We're about to talk about him in a couple segments here. But the point is, Those are my two new driving forces who will take me to the NFC Championship.
I want to know one thing. Who let you down more, Dak Prescott or Tony Romo?
Well, that's a hard question.
It ain't no hard question, because Tony Romo was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys for a decade.
You know what? Seriously, after Dak's rookie year, I came to expect far more from Dak than I ever did from Tony Romo. I never loved Tony Romo because he was Tony uh-oh. He was just like, he'd get you right to the finish line against Peyton Manning in that big shootout game, and then he'd just throw it to the other team.
All he had to do was hold a ball in Seattle.
He started with that. And he wasn't even the starter at that point.
And you also remember when they had that great season and the Giants came in there and beat the brakes off them. They had 12 Pro Bowlers.
Okay, well, Dak finished off his rookie year by going head to head with Aaron Rodgers at Jerry World. We were the number one seed.
He was a rookie.
I know, but he threw for 305 and three touchdowns. They got us all the way back to 31 all.
Yeah,
remember that?
But just for a fact, the rookie that got you that far. And yeah, you ran the football. Ben had similar success. Ben went to the championship game and ended up losing to Tom Brady. As a matter of fact, lost to Tom Brady in the championship game.
He did.
But for a rookie to get that far, that's saying something, Skip.
I was over the moon about Dak at that point,
yes.
And he has never quite been able to live up to the standards he set, the bar he raised as a rookie.
I believe this is the best football team they surrounded Dak with, offensively and defensively.
You could be right, and I sure hope so. I believe in this team. I have more faith in this team because of the weapons around Dak.
Well, that's why it's going to hurt more, because you know
they would love to
more,
get another so weapon in OBJ tonight, guys. OBJ set to make some visits, including the Cowboys and Giants, after the Thanksgiving holiday. Unless, of course, he's so impressed today, it just inspires him to make a decision. All right, another quarterback controversy I need you two to dive into. Zach Wilson. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Is his apology going to be enough for him to eventually return as the Jets' starting quarterback? Very curious your thoughts on this, gentlemen. Undisputed returns in just a moment. After getting benched this week, Zach Wilson says he apologized to his teammates for his post-game comments after their loss to the Patriots. Wilson had under 100 passing yards in that matchup. When asked if he let his defense down, he told reporters, quote, no. Man, the media went in on Wilson, especially Booger McFarland. Shannon, what do you make of Zach Wilson's apology?
I don't buy it. He didn't apologize until he got benched. And for this notion, I didn't realize that it was bad until my dad said so. Really? Skip, this is what quarterbacks get groomed at a very young age to give quarterback speech, because they have to understand you don't really say what you want to say. You say what you want them to hear. And you understand that. And you understand that the quarterback's words carry more weight than any other position in any other sport, because he's the quarterback. He's the CEO. He's the face of the franchise. And for him, I mean, Skip, I'll give you a prime example. A couple of weeks ago, Jalen Ramsey said something. They had lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he said, man, we make a big play. You know, we get up, we hold them, we get off the field. And as soon as we get off the field, they say, okay, stay locked in, because you might have to come back up. Now, imagine if Matthew Stafford had said, you know what, we score a touchdown. We come off the field and we get a cup of Gatorade and they say, you back up. Can you imagine? We'd still be talking about it, because that's why we still talk about it. Any other guy can say that. And normally what happens, Skip, if a guy makes a mistake, man, I let the team down today, man. That one's on me. Mm. All he had to do was say, you know what, guys, I need to play better. The defense, the team played well enough to win today, but I held them back. Mm. Skip, sometimes even if you don't believe it, you fall on the sword anyway, because you want to show those other guys that you are the leader, that you're the guy that they can believe in,
yep,
that they can rally behind. When you go out there and they see you stinking it up like you did, Skip, in total QBR, he's 37.6. That's 35th of the qualified players.
Yep.
In passing yards, he's 35th. In yards per dropback, he's dead last. In passing touchdown per attempt, he's dead last. Mm. And you don't think you let anybody, okay, I didn't let it, Skip, maybe he say, you know what, I didn't let the defense down, I let the team down. Because it's not an offense defense, it's a team. I let the team down today, guys. Mm. But I promise you, I'm going to get better.
Yeah.
I'm going to work my tail off, because I want these guys to believe in me, that know that I'm the leader, and they can believe in me.
Yep.
That's all you got to do, bro. But when you come out there and smug, no. Okay. And you, what did Robert Saleh say? I don't know if they hate him, but they're irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches got the pulse. They feel the team. They got a great sense of what's going on in the locker room, Skip. He knows he had no choice but to do this.
No choice. So I start with this. He looks like a little kid to me, and he acts like a little kid to me. But I don't condemn just him for that. They knew what they were choosing when they chose him second overall.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you I watched him three times last year before the draft when we went back and forth about who would you take high.
Mm-hmm.
And I said he has a spectacular flair to him, but he has no textbook technique at all to him. And he lacks poise in the pocket, and he couldn't do the little things in college to match up with his occasional big thing.
Right.
Yet the Jets, in all my years of studying drafts, I've never heard a team lock in on a player from day one. It's like we're 2 months out, and I'm reading reports. The Jets are locked in on Zach. You're locked in?
And he knew that, too.
Yeah. And it was a done deal, and it was the only done deal on draft night where we just knew full well he is going second overall to the Jets. Yeah. So, well, Trevor Lawrence. He's like in a whole nother league to me. But again, he was the consensus favorite. Okay, way to go. And I think he's starting to live up to that. Okay. I like Trey Lance. You like Mac Jones. You thought Mac Jones was the readiest to play.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I like Trey Lance, I knew I was betting on the come because I didn't have a lot of body of work.
Correct.
But what I'd seen, the bits and pieces, and then some of it's just YouTube highlights.
Right.
I loved because then when I studied his background, he's gym rat, he's dedicated, he's high character. Mm-hmm. He's everything you can count on and bet on in a franchise quarterback. And obviously, two people you know very well, the Shanahans, mm-hmm. that you sort of grew up in football around, mm-hmm. and you watched Kyle grow up under his dad, Mike, they swooped up and they bet their whole future on Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. And it was pretty surprising to me, but that's number three overall.
Right.
And we saw some moments from him, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy either last year or obviously this year, and they better be right about it. And I think they will be over the long haul. Because he can do something that Jimmy G really can't, and that's he can run with the football.
Right.
And he can run with it effectively enough that it's going to make that running game virtually unstoppable to me. Mac Jones, I've seen bits and pieces. I still think he'll always leave you a little bit wanting.
Right.
But has he done pretty well? Yep. Has he been ready to play? Yep. I will give you that.
You're going to have to do for Mac Jones what the Miami Dolphins did for Tua. You realize what he had. He was throwing to Devontae Smith. He was throwing to Jalen Waddle. He had Najee Harris in the backfield. Yeah. So what did they do for Tua? They went out and got him a Tyreek. They added with a Jalen Waddle. And they gave him a dominant run game. They get Wilson Jr. They got Mostert. And they got Gesicki. Who's injured right now, but Skip, you see what they've done. They've given him what he had in college to make him more successful.
They did, and they went out and got a coach who's making him feel like a prince, like making him feel like he's a real deal.
And I think that might have been a mistake, Skip, because they identified the guy so early. He knew early on, and he didn't really have to work. He didn't have to go through anything.
Zach Wilson.
All the other recruits, the candidates, potential prospects, Skip, they got to be on their best behavior. Well, I already know y'all taking me. I'm already know if I already know I got the job, Skip. I'm going to come in there in sweatpants. I'm going to come in there. I ain't got to give you my best effort.
Okay, so then I read a quote the ESPN story. Zach Wilson is historically bad when throwing under pressure. He has a tendency to look at the pass rush instead of downfield, often resulting in throws off his back foot. Well, just go look at the tape. That's who he was in college.
Right.
And then his coordinator, Mike LaFleur, said, I have to find a way to get him fundamentally sound in his lower half. That was already out. That's who you drafted. That's the joke's on you. So in the end, I do blame the kid for his remark because he went to war with the media and he's trying to dismiss him. No, I didn't let him down. But again, you have to blame the team ultimately who chose him number two overall.
You know why, Skip? Because they got so enamored, he can make throws like Mahomes. But if you think about it, Mahomes can make those off-balance throws. But you watch him from the pocket and watch how he throws the football when he doesn't get a rush. You're trying to speed him up. This kid, Skip, even with no rush, Skip, Mm-hmm. I mean, he had Barrios, I think that was him in the flat, mm-hmm. and he throws the ball 10 feet over his head. And Barrios, the ball's coming, Barrios, like.
That was the worst of the plays.
Was that for me?
I got it. So, again, you have now cut bait with him, but Saleh keeps saying we just need him to reset and refocus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure.
Skip, they did it with Troy.
Yep.
They Troy refocused. If the cream rose to the top. If this kid is what they thought he was going to be, he won't have a problem with it.
Yeah. How do you mean they did it with Troy? Which time?
Berline.
They let Steve Berline play down the stretch.
And then they take, what was the quarterback?
Steve Walsh.
Steve Walsh. They drafted Troy and they took him number one in the supplemental draft.
Jimmy took him because he'd won a championship for Jimmy at Miami. Okay? And they went back and forth in their rookie year.
Hey, if this kid is what he said, he'll get that job back from Mike White.
Okay, that's fair. I agree.
But if he ain't.
Sunday, when the Bears come calling, guys, it is Mike White who will get the start for the Jets. Joe Flacco will be the backup. Wilson will be inactive.